This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Wow, who's gotta start first?
See, yeah. Okay, it's like.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my bad, you were doing already. It wasn't as great as it was in our heads.
Yeah. Sounds a bit dead.
Today's, yeah. It's brain dead with us.
Bloody idiots, get out of my face.
I don't know what to say.
Okay. Well, why do I always have to go first? Oh my. Seriously.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
You know, I've been in the area for like 20 minutes. I went after food. It's what happens when you're hungry.
I'm so mad because I got here and I was like, oh, you're usually Tesco. Here before me.
I was in Tesco for 15 minutes. I couldn't believe it.
I actually got off at Tesco as well.
Oh, yeah. I was there for like 15 minutes. Then, you know, like when you're like, when everyone's in a rush, when everyone's moving slow, when you're actually in a rush. Because I had so much time, I didn't like clock the time.
Yeah.
I was like, what, 5 minutes? And I was like, how long is it going to take to prepare the food? She was like, about 5. I said, I haven't got time for that.
What food did they prepare in Tesco?
They got like a cafe.
Oh.
Yeah, they got a cafe. So I wanted to get something like breakfasty.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
My spirit was telling me just get fruits and go. But then I was in that queue for time.
You might as well.
And then when I thought, okay, let me just wait. And then when I clocked the time, I said, I can't wait. She's like, are you sure? I said, this is taking my time, hon. Then I had to go and get the fruits. And then I had to get a spoon. And there was some auntie, just slow. You know, like, when people are like slow, like...
What, the till people?
Like a slug. No, the customer.
Oh, okay.
I said, get your words out. What do you want? Oh, yeah, do you know what? I'm so what dying. Mess?
Yeah. It's still as we got time, so it's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What episode are you on now? 139, is it?
39?
I don't even know, you know.
Hold okay. On. That's a whole lot of episodes. I think it's 120 or 119.
127, actually.
27?
127.
That's a lie.
No, it's not. It's even 128.
Wait, where are you checking? On Apple?
Yeah, we're definitely more than that, actually.
Oh, yeah. No, I check on Spotify.
Yeah.
That's what I was like.
132. That's more than I thought.
But on Spotify, 118.
Oh, yes. I'm so silly.
Yeah, that's what I was like, girl, that's a whole lot of episodes.
I'm thinking, what? Like... What?
Okay, I was thinking so, I must have put the wrong episode number for this week.
Okay, so this is 119. Yeah, because Spotify, what's it called? Apple. They count. Mix all of it up.
Yeah, because they count the shade mail.
Yeah, shade mail. Yeah. It's crazy, dog.
Ciao, 119, guys.
Yeah, I saw, what's it called? Off the cuff, they had 300.
Yeah, 300. I saw that. That's a lot. That's a whole lot of talking. For
300
and imagine that times how many hours. Because I think theirs varies from like 2 to 3, maybe. I can't remember.
Yeah.
So 300 times 2 hours, that's what? 600. No?
Yeah.
Is the maths mapping?
The maths is barely. That's 600 hours of their life.
That's a lot.
That's great. Well, congratulations to them anyway, because that's amazing.
Yeah. Definitely a huge milestone.
Damn.
Yeah. Go listen to our episode with them. I can't remember what number it was, but
I can't remember.
Go listen. That was a good episode.
I think ESN as well is like way past 300, actually.
I think they're probably in the thousands. Shout out to ESN as well.
Yeah,
Dope
ESN
guys.
Podcast.
Dope guys.
Now that's crazy. People really be important, isn't
but
it?
But it's mad because when you think about it, like literally, would you put in 600 hours for something that you're really passionate about? Like literally. When you look at it, like, it's that mad, but you do it without realizing.
Yeah.
Even like the money that you've invested in your passion.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a lot of money.
At the start, if they told you, okay, you're going to spend about $5,000.
You would have been like, no, thank you.
Yeah. But then you just end up spending that without even realizing.
It's actually crazy.
It is crazy.
Damn.
It's crazy. But shout out to y'all, man.
Shout out to all the podcasters, okay? Because it's not an easy job at all.
Yeah.
At all.
Even this week, I saw that Two Queens have ended.
Yeah.
Shout out to Two Queens.
Shout out to Iman and Layla.
Yeah, they were really
Leah.
Dope.
How can I call her Layla?
because of Iman's name in it.
Yes.
You know what's so funny? I didn't even clock on.
Shout out to Iman and Leo. We've had them on here.
Yeah, they were really, really dope as well. But it's a lot, man. Podcasting is a lot.
Because it is. I feel like with your, like when you've got your life going on, and like obviously a lot of us have work as well.
Mm-hmm.
We're not there yet where we get paid from the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait for that time to come.
Bruh.
But like we have work as well, and then you just have other things that you do.
Yeah, like your life. Yeah, your life will be life thing at the same time.
That's it. So it's not so easy at all. That's why I will always stand for podcasters, and I hate when people come and say, oh, you just sit there and chat shit. Because baby, if you chat your shit's not gonna bang. I tell you that. For free.
And okay? Also, if I'm chatting shit and it's working, then
exactly.
I guess I'm doing something, right?
That's it. I feel like to actually have a podcast where people actually stay engaged.
It's a lot.
And then when you don't release the episode, people are coming to insult you online.
Mate, when people are in your DMs for things that you tweet, hello?
When that guy tweeted us and Black Girls Living, he's like, I didn't like that you guys put out the episode.
I was like, oh my God, I didn't know it was that deep.
How can he say, I hope this is some crushing? But I was like, then you get no episode.
I was upset, just like, yeah. Bruh.
Well, I think he was upset that it doesn't come out bang on midnight.
Yeah.
And he was like, you guys know what you're doing. I said.
No, he was really upset.
First of all, thank you.
He was really
upset. I love that you love the pod like that. Shout out to you. I know you're listening. Shout out to you. But sir, don't wish that the thing crashes.
When I saw that, I was like, I don't know if you're joking.
No, I think he was joking.
No, he was joking. But I was just like, when I first read it, I was like, yo, gosh.
I was like, slap me then. Because
yeah, it's also like that guy that, well, I don't know if it was a guy actually, that left that Apple review saying that we were inconsistent.
We were on a break.
And I was like, wow.
No, honestly, in the words of, what's it called, Ross, we were on a break.
No, literally.
Then you go and leave a comment on why we're inconsistent.
But it's good to know that, like, you guys fucked with us that.
It is very sweet. It's very encouraging.
Yeah,
but just leave positive reviews on Apple, please.
I feel like with our listeners, they listen, but, like, I don't know if you guys are scared to let us know how you feel about the podcast. I mean, we've had some people in our DMs like, oh, yeah.
But
like
sometimes I
want you to publicly declare this love for me.
It. Like, I appreciate the DMs, absolutely. I appreciate the tweets, absolutely. But if you could just put that also, not in place of, also in the Apple reviews, that'd be so
let the people
great.
Then know that you fucks with no shade.
That'd be splendid. Because what it does, it makes other people see it.
Exactly. Other people get to know about No Shade and they're like, oh my gosh, here were these girls. And then, you know, we're a whole community.
That's it.
We want our community to grow.
Honestly.
So don't just keep it to yourself. If you like it, let other people know.
Beyond your group chat.
I mean, I don't want to be one of them people that are going to be sending you the episodes in the DMs, because I will.
Like a mixtape.
I will if it gets to that, guys.
That is so funny.
But
I remember when we started and we did a broadcast. That was cute.
Yeah, we did that on Snapchat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So many people were like, oh, guys, like, congratulations. Yeah. That was cute. But even looking back at it now, like, I don't think I'll ever do that again.
I would. I've got to shamelessly promote myself, I'll tell you that.
I don't think I'll do it on in people's DMs, but I definitely like promote the pod like on my story, like literally every day. And I know people are probably sick of seeing that, because I know on Snapchat
that is not my problem.
Because even on Snapchat, I noticed that when I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but when I put the episode up,
the views are down.
The views are hella low. But if it's me doing bad B stuff, y'all were so quick to
I'm sorry, I'm not being funny, but I feel like that's hateration, not gonna lie.
But you know, there's a tactic to it now.
Yeah,
I know it. So I post the No Shade, then I'll post myself.
Selfie, yeah.
That way you're by force you will see No Shade.
Guess what? You're gonna see it.
For real.
You will see it. Because I think, like, I don't understand why, like, so you guys want me to be on Snapchat just seeing your silly little lives? Like, I don't get it.
That's why I don't even use that app no more, because all of you lot, I don't fuck with y'all on. Okay. If I'm not promoting the podcast, then what else am I doing on there?
Like now,
I shamelessly promote the podcast or like other things that I'm doing, because
if I'm promoting,
if I don't do it, no one else is going to do it. So, and you've got to be your biggest like
cheerleader,
absolutely, and promote your stuff. So, whatever you're like passionate about, do your thing, because you literally never know who's watching.
And I used to feel like, oh, like I don't want to. I don't know. I feel like I was kind of like not shy about it, but just not embarrassed either.
Mm.
But she said, I don't want people to think I'm doing too much or like I'm putting out there too much.
Mm-mm-mm.
If you think I'm putting out too, just unfollow me because that's all I'm going
to
be putting.
No, literally, I definitely feel that as well because like there's things that I do and then my sister will be like, you need to like put it out there. And I'm like, no, like, da-da-da. She's like, what is wrong with you? Like, you always say you want to do this, you want to do this. And it's like, you don't put it in. And I'm just like, I don't know. Like, it's this whole like, I don't know.
I just feel like you never know who's watching and you just never know who's going to. Who's gonna be interested in it? And then from that interest, it just grows. But I just think we need to like shamelessly promote ourselves.
100%.
Why not? Because like when we think about other like stuff like Love Island, for example, we will be quick to do hashtag.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what? I'm listening to my pod and I'm hashtagging No Shape Pod. I'll be doing that. Like,
because even like with Love Island, think about how they've got an app that they'll be sending you notifications. Go and vote. Like literally they're in your face 24/7. So that's how you have to be. Yeah, so that's how you have to be. Even with Bolt, Naomi will come and email you. We've got
good old Naomi, shout out to her.
You've got 15% off. Uber Eats, all these different things are shamelessly like
promoting themselves.
Yeah, and after a while you're like, okay, let me go and check out what this is about. That's like it. The same way I saw it first, will text you, you know how they have these like weird headlines that like your order's ready, like these weird emails.
So annoying.
Yeah, so I'm thinking I've actually ordered something.
Nah, I swear first is they're notorious for that.
They're like, oh, your basket is da da da, and I'm like,
they'll be like, we're so sorry. I open it, but like our last email, babes, I didn't even get the last email. Stop it.
So that's how you literally have to be sometimes with your staff.
We definitely have to, man. We definitely have to because why not?
Literally. But moving on to things that we want to talk about today. So I saw Aloni. Shout out to Aloni, by the way.
Aloni is just
your
a
contenting
queen.
Is contenting. Like your content is she's actually doing not queen. Like she's definitely influential. So I saw her tweet about different apologies. What was it? Hold on, let me get the tweet out. So it was
good for the women.
It was what's your apology language?
Okay.
And I can't remember why she tweeted this.
I think it was I can't remember.
It's to do Love Island, but I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
Maybe it might be Toby.
Yeah, I've checked out from Love Island, by the way.
So the first one is expressing regret, accepting responsibility, making restitution. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, so making right what you've done wrong.
Oh, right, okay. Genuinely repenting and requesting forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And it made me think as well about like different types of apologies as well.
Yeah.
Or no, different types of forgiveness as well.
Okay.
So I was just thinking like, what is your apology language? Because I don't know. Because I think genuinely repenting has to be number one. Like you can't say sorry or express regret if you're genuinely not going to repent, like not do it again.
I think my main one, my number one is definitely acknowledging what it is that you've done.
Because
I've had a lot of people gaslight me and make me feel like what they've done was either because of me or what they've done, that they're trying to act like they don't know what it is that they've done. Really, really winds me up.
Yeah,
because you can't, do you get me? Because some people be like, I don't know what I did, but sorry. But like, you can't be sorry without actually acknowledging what it is that you've done. So for me, my first one would be acknowledging what it is that you've done. And then after that is just, I guess, genuinely repenting because it's not enough to say, okay, this is what I did. I feel like saying what you did, acknowledging what it is that you've done comes with you apologizing anyway. That's going to come with it.
Then
changing, as in like, I've realised this is what I did.
I can't do this
anymore.
This
is not right. I can't do that and I will not do this anymore. Yeah. And then moving on from that.
I think a lot of people find it hard. Because I don't want it just to be just men. I think generally a lot of people find it hard to, that accountability part. Like,
I think women are worse at apologising than men are.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%. But I think as a whole, like people find accountability part like really important and understanding like why you hurt someone's feelings. And I think it's just a work in progress. But then again, someone could take accountability and not repent. They could be like, I understand what I did. You know, I should have done it and then not want to do anything about it.
Yeah.
I think that's worse because it's like, you know what you're doing is wrong, but you're still doing it anyway.
But then people like that, though, I think, are you genuinely taking accountability for what you did? Because sometimes people be taking accountability because they just want you to shut up.
Yeah.
Like genuinely understand what it is that you've done, I believe that you would genuinely go and seek better. You would seek to do better. Do you get what I mean?
But it's like even when we were kids, that like your mum would tell you not to do something. You take accountability. Like, let's just say,
You lied to something. I did it. Yeah.
And then you know that this lie, you're going to do it again. So it's like you take accountability so that you know that what you're doing is wrong. But I don't know if it's human nature where we're going to do it. Like this thing that makes us want to be rebels, that like we do it again.
It definitely is. That's why Adam and Eve ate the apple.
Yeah, God like didn't
in,
know.
I feel like in our spirit, like, it's just human flesh to just want to just essentially rebel. And I feel like that's why for me, I always say it's so important for me to find, to be with someone or have people around me that can kind of repress their flesh. So it even comes into something like immediate gratification and deferred gratification. Like, I need someone who can think logically. Yeah. Like, you can think long term. You can think logically. You can, you don't, you're not impulsive. I don't like impulsive people.
Yeah. Like, I think that in, with impulsiveness, I think I'm definitely something that I'm working on.
Yeah.
In terms of like impulsive reaction to things. Yeah, yeah. So, or like impulsive emotions, if that's a thing. So yeah. Like feeling something and then
straight away reacting to
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Like I always do that. And it's just yeah. like, sis, you need to, that's not cool. So yeah. I'm definitely working on like not
reacting. Not being so impulsive. Yeah,
yeah. But then also, I've also realized that when I repress it as well, I saw something as well where it said, the more you repress something, it starts a war inside of you.
Do you know what it is though? It's not, when you don't react straight away, when you don't react to an impulse, it's not repressing it.
Yeah.
It's just taking a moment to assess the situation.
Yeah,
because
I
feel like when I'm in situations, what I don't react straight away.
Yeah.
Because I think, okay. You know that meme of Tiffany on the bed, like with sunglasses
yeah,
on?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
actually me. Do you get me? So I feel like not reacting to something straight away doesn't mean you have to repress it. You will still address it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bars, first of all.
Spoken word. Hell,
listen. But I feel like, yeah, you will still address it, but it's just, you're not reacting in that moment. Yeah, I feel like sometimes you react in the moment and then you end up regressing it. And it's just like, oh, like,
that's happened to me a couple of times.
I shouldn't have reacted that way. And I just think that is just a whole, then it's like a whole can of worms opened up.
And
now you've got to address that mess as well.
Yeah, and also as well, you then put the ball in that other person's court. Like, that person doesn't feel bad for what they've done.
Because now the blame has shifted because now you're moving mad.
Yeah,
because
now I've instantly reacted. The other person's thinking, shh, you shouldn't have reacted that way. And then now you're feeling the regret with that person. Like, they are the ones.
You were the one wrong.
Yeah, they're the ones who are meant to be apologizing. But then you're apologizing for instantly reacting to what they did. So it's just like, but I think there's a fine line between, a fine line between instantly reacting and repressing it. And that find that middle ground where you knowing the right time to address it as well.
It could even be like after 10 minutes. I feel like sometimes like, when you see stuff, like when we see like reality TV shows and stuff, reality TV shows like Love and Hip Hop and all that kind of stuff. They're constantly reacting in that moment, like stuff like you're throwing.
It's
stuff,
hard though.
You're insulted. It's definitely hard, but I think it comes with like discipline, and it comes with just like, okay, me doing all of this stuff, where's it gonna get me? Because I can't imagine being in a situation where we're arguing or something, and you're just calling me names and you're throwing stuff like
that's a lot.
I will shut down, and that's as a man, I will shut down because I'm thinking, what are you, like, are you all right?
Yeah.
I can't do the whole firecracker, like you're reacting that moment. I think also when it comes to like reacting straight away and moving impulsive in that manner, I feel like it's so glorified for women. But I think also men have contributed to that because they like the whole, oh, I like a feisty girl, or like, I like a girl who's like, you know, like, do you know what I mean? It's sexualized. And I feel like that's where it comes from, because a lot of women, really and truly, man, the things you're doing, you know that you don't even have that, you don't have the temerity in you to actually do these things.
Yeah.
But because like, it's just in that moment, you're like, oh, da, 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 and it's like, what's all of this for?
I think
it's just been glorified.
Yeah, that narrative of like being a firecracker or like being spicy, like just
being feisty.
Yeah,
and
it's definitely thrown around a lot. And I think that's kind of like perpetuated like movies as well. Like, remember like Tyler Perry movies, for example.
Yeah.
I remember there was one movie, I think it's Diary of a
Black Woman. Mad Black Woman.
Yeah. And then Sis was like, is it that movie or was it Waiting to Exhale? I think it's Waiting to Exhale.
Oh, and she's throwing stuff outside the
So she found out her man cheated on her with a white woman. I think that's what even broke her. And then she was like throwing his stuff out. She nearly burnt the house and everything.
That's mad.
And it's like, when you see these things as a young woman, like, if you're not careful, you kind of like internalize these things and you think that's the way to respond to certain things.
Yeah.
Because in that moment, like, you're just, especially if you're somebody already who doesn't know how to deal with their anger.
Yeah.
Like, seeing stuff like that will just make you think, okay, I need to, you know. But then the more you do that, the more the other person's thinking, psh.
Yeah, because
this is why Adam left you, or this is why I did this.
Exactly. Because like you said, like, when you react, if you move mad, essentially, now the focus is on your madation. Now the focus is on your madness. Do you know what I mean?
Shifted,
so it's like, now you can't even really come back and address what it is that they did to hurt you, because it's like, oh, like, yeah, but you did this. But I feel like even stuff like that, like when in terms of relationships, I feel like it comes down to that kind of that, like, that idea of ownership in a way. But we feel like because we're with someone, Like, it's just, you can do whatever you want to do, and they have to accept it. Because what was it? Even, I don't like this guy, but let me just bring as an example.
Who is this?
Michael Blackson.
Oh, yeah.
Gets on my flipping nerves. I can't stand him. But anyways, he must have proposed to his girl at Breakfast Club. I just feel like,
okay. Rado.
Proposed to her, yeah. Then in his caption, he's like, ladies, women like a man who is loyal. No, men like a woman who's loyal.
Yeah.
He's like, even though we do stuff, even though we cheat, we might do this, do that. This is his engagement caption, by the way. I'd be so embarrassed. He's like, first of all, actually, no, let me go back. When he proposed to her, yeah, she put the ring on. She was like, no more side bitches.
I said,
ew, first of all.
That whole side bitches is a thing, but yeah.
A whole thing.
We'll get into that.
Then, so in his caption, he's like, oh, ladies, men like a woman who stays loyal. Even though we do stuff to you, even though we might hurt you, we want you, like, just be patient and just stick through it. Because at some point, like, we're going to get better. First of all, that sounds like slavery. We're going to get better. Then he was like, stay loyal. And also, people think that she's a gold digger, but she's not.
Yeah.
She actually never asked me for anything. Also, I'm allowed a side bitch a month.
Yeah, I saw that. It's mad. Because I watched them on...
How embarrassing.
They had a VH1, I think it was like a Love and Hip Hop like reunion, but they brought in... it was called Couples Therapy, that's it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they were on there, and then they were basically talking about how they have this...
Arrangement,
where he's allowed to have a side bitch, like... bring a side bitch into a relationship, but where he went wrong was because he was having relations with the side bitches outside of her. So they have a relationship where they have threesomes, but he started having twosomes without her. And then it was just a whole thing. And I was like, first of all, people have gone mad because why are we normalizing like threesomes in a relationship?
Do you know why
we're
normalizing?
That's not a relationship.
Because men have gotten their way with saying they can't be. They can't do
monogamous.
Monogamy.
Yeah, he said
men.
It in his interview as well in the Breakfast Club that he's realized that that's how he is. Like, he has accepted that he's a man who will always need to have extras on the side. And
that's fair enough, yeah. But I don't like when you start to try and make it the norm.
Yeah, and
it's not normal, babe.
And don't make that. It's not a relationship. Like, don't try and bring in marriage and all that other stuff. Because that's not what marriage is about. So when
don't
you're
try
trying
and
to,
do monogamy things in polygamy things.
Yeah, like you're mixing. Like, the institution of marriage is not that. So when you're trying to, you can have your situation, cool, but don't bring in these other things that's not what it stands for.
Remixes.
Yeah. It's just like, bruh. And then I just feel like sorry for women like that as well. Because I feel like with her, with Rada, I just feel like you don't know your worth because why are you accepting things like that?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Like, even if, okay, you know what, you want to be polygamous, but to the point where you're getting engaged, and so when you're getting married as well, you're going to be doing this.
Do you know what these things are for me, though? Like, I feel like it's all right. If a man wants to do that, that's fair enough. If you're open and honest about it, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
If a woman wants to accept that, that is also fair enough.
Yeah.
I don't feel like all the time it links to their worth, because some women actually just enjoy having multiple partners.
But you know what? My thing is that is when, because she generally doesn't, she doesn't like it. Like,
no,
on couples therapy.
That's what I was getting to.
Yeah, she doesn't actually like. So for me, it's like you're accepting things that you don't like just to be with this guy.
Yeah, I feel like my thing is that you can, it's all right for anyone to accept it, cool. And I don't think it's always tied to their worth, except in the situation where it's like, he can, like some, because some women have multiple partners. I think.
Yeah.
What was it? Was it on... Was it Meals After Seven, I think it was. They had an episode, the lady, and she has multiple partners.
Yeah, polygamy is a thing. Like, I think Willow Smith is even one
and
of
that's
them
fair
well.
Enough. No, I'm talking about those kids. That's fair enough, right? But I think for me, it's like, when you say that you're okay with it, yet it's causing you so much stress and so much
pain.
Yeah. Then is it really what? Then I tie it to your work. I think, okay, you must be staying in there because you feel like that's the best you can do.
Yeah.
But also these things, this whole thing about polygamy and whatever, and it seems to just only apply to men, because when it's a woman, she's a hoe. But when it's a man, it's like, well, men can't be monogamy. They can't be in monogamy relationships. Like, men weren't made for just one woman.
Yeah.
First of all, I don't know what Bible you're reading, but clearly you're not reading any. But they'll be like, oh, men weren't made for just one woman.
Yeah.
And like, so it never applies that same Both grace ways. Is never given to women. Because my thing is, if you want to be that, where it's like he has his sides, you have your sides as well, that's fair enough. And some couples have that. That's healthy for them. That makes sense. You get me? Because no one is doing any... I feel like that's what JD and Will, that's why I said I don't want to talk about that family. The Smiths, that's what they... I feel like that's what they had.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it works for them. Do you get me? But when you
as a
woman...
Up until a point where Jada was doing her thing and it didn't work for Will no more.
Boy.
So
but
that's
like,
the thing.
When it gets to a point where it's like, you are... You're only... Like, you're saying you're okay with this. Mm. You're not doing it back, which is fair enough. You don't have to do it back. But like... Your emotions and stuff, that like you're hurt and you're in pain, and then you're having to like stalk girls and follow them on Instagram and DM them. I think the lowest moment in anybody's life is having to DM somebody. If you're not married, that is, because if I'm married, I can do whatever I want. I can ring my finger. But it's like to have to DM girls to ask how they know your man, or why is it the man is liking your pictures, or why is his commenting?
Yeah.
So I think that is so low. And I feel like if you find yourself in that point, just pack your bag and go. I feel like... This whole thing that we hold to relationships, where people want relationships so bad that they rather struggle than just be on their own. It's a sickness.
Yeah, but
I'm
I think it's because like people have like romanticized like struggling with your partner because it's this whole ride or die.
And, I ain't riding nowhere.
You know, this whole we ups and downs, lows and the highs.
Mm-mm.
I honestly, truly, I don't want any lows. I've been having lows and I don't want to experience them anymore. I only want high from upward, like from onwards. Literally. And like, even if I'm going to be a low, it's a low where it's like, we don't know what we're having for dinner. It's not me questioning whether you love me or not. Or I don't want to have, I think we've gotten to the point where like, we're adults now. And I think if you're not feeling a situation anymore, just open your mouth and say, even if you woke up that morning and you said, you don't love me anymore, I'd rather you tell me I don't love you anymore than you stay with me out of pity, or you stay with me and you're doing extra things, having extra side bitches and stuff. Like, no, I'm not here for that. So
I just think it's terrible.
I'm not here for the highs and lows. Y'all can have that.
Literally, you guys don't have that.
I don't want it, but...
It's actually, I just think it's really terrible. Like, I just feel like the obsession with, like, relationships and wanting to be with someone and have someone, all that kind of stuff, like, is killing the people, it's killing the world, because so many people go through stuff that they have no business going through. Like, they enable stuff that they have no business enabling. Like, what is the point of saying you want to have someone that you want to be in love when the love is not pure? Like, the love causes you more harm than good. It brings you more sadness than happiness. What's the point?
Yeah. So even like just talking about apologies, so there's different types of forgiveness as well. There's four types apparently.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm not a psychologist, but I just found this on the internet.
I'm so dumb.
So it's unconditional forgiveness. This is the highest type of forgiveness we can offer someone who has hurt us who has hurt us is unconditional forgiveness.
Okay.
When we forgive unconditionally, it means we stop basing our actions, our thoughts and our feelings on what the other person said or did to us.
Okay.
Which I think unconditional for me would apply to my parents and siblings. I think that's the only people that I would have that unconditional forgiveness for. But then again, that might have some conditions unless like you murdered me or something, then.
Well, you'd be dead, you wouldn't know anyway.
True that. Then there is conditional forgiveness, which is the second highest type of forgiveness. A way forward out of the broken place that requires constant maintenance on the offender's part and constant vigilance on yours as the forgiver.
That sounds like a shift.
Yeah, it's like the phrase President Reagan used when describing a nuclear army treat with the former Soviet Union, trust but verify. So this sounds more like, I forgive you, but I forget.
Yeah, this sounds more like the things we see, the usual one in real life.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it can still pop up, you can still remember, you can still bring it up, you can,
Yeah, because this can play out in examples such as a betrayed partner feeling entitled to monitor or hack into emails and texts.
Yeah, I ain't doing it. That's dead.
Yeah, that's a lot. Then the third one is dismissive forgiveness, the third and lowest type of forgiveness. Taking a whatever attitude towards the hurt and just moving on with your life in a positive direction. Dismissive forgiveness often involves terminating or dramatically reducing the closeness of a relationship or may involve life-changing situations such as quitting a job with a difficult boss, leaving a dysfunctional marriage or partnership, which I also, I think I'm also a dismissive forgiver.
I feel like I can be, is that all of them?
No, and then the last one is grace.
Okay.
Which I saved grace, I saved grace for last because it is of an entirely different order than the other three types of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Grace is not asked to grant, but if you believe in God, God's, for believers, God is the ultimate forgiver. And at least for me, the one who the one to whom we are ultimately accountable for our transgressions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the way, so for example, with, so in, I can't pronounce this word, in Michelangelo's Sistine Chapel scene of God's creating Adam,
yeah,
with both God's and Adam's hands reaching and extending, fingers not quite touching, grace, both the giving and the receiving, is portrayed as an essence of creation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So yeah, we've got, so conditional, unconditional, dismissive, and grace. Which one are you, or which
ones? I feel like I've done all of them, but I think I've done the conditional before.
Mm-hmm.
But that is really, really like in my past.
That's torture.
That is really, really, really in my past. So yeah. I feel like more today, speaking of today, I would say I'm more the other three.
Okay, yeah.
I feel like I can forgive people unconditionally where I don't, like I think the way I think of stuff, like I think of stuff quite logically now,
mm-hmm.
where I understand that human beings are human beings.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that I can't always place my expectations on people's behaviors.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I understand that when someone does something, I can be to blame,
mm-hmm.
but it's not always about me.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the thing that people do is more to do with their situation.
Yeah.
And so when I forgive someone in that sense, I don't always hold people to what it is that they've done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I can forgive unconditionally.
Yeah.
And then dismissive forgiving as well. I definitely do that as well, where it's like, I've forgiven you, but I don't want you in my life anymore because that trust is broken and I have no desire anyway to repair it. So I forgive you. I don't have any animosity towards you. Like, if you need my help tomorrow, I'll be there, but you're not in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You're not in my life, basically. And then the grace one, I feel like that one as well, I'm able to do. I will tie that with my unconditional as well.
Because
I feel like a lot of things I go through, I pray about it. Like I literally place my heart in God's hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that being a Christian, I'm able to just understand. I feel like that's why I'm able to kind of think in a way, like logically, about human beings' behaviors and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And just think, do you know what? At the end of the day, is what it is. And I feel like, yeah. Because I always think that sometimes people do stuff because like you don't know God. So I can't expect you to treat me. I can't expect you to, essentially, right, we should all treat each other the way Christ treats the church, right? So I can't expect you not to hurt me because you don't even know God. So do you get what I mean? Like,
yeah, and even aside from that as well, I think, like you said, humans are humans. And I think humans are, like, we're very complex, like, in the way that everybody's got, like, the individualities and things that you, like, agree with, someone might not agree with, or, like, different, we're just all built very differently. Yeah. So I think humans are bound to like make mistakes kind of thing. Like, so I think, like if someone hurts you, I think it's like, sometimes it's like, you know what? You're human and like, you're going to make mistakes. As long, going back to what we were talking about before, as long as you take accountability and like genuinely repent and stuff like that. So I think that's where the grace comes in with, even with God, like we be sinning every day, like, but God on always has like, you know, his grace and everything. So, I mean, if God was to literally, you know, cast us away for the things that we've done, then we would have been cast away a long time ago.
Right.
But, you know, every day, like, it's just, he'd be forgiving us for the things that we don't even realize we need forgiveness for.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I think, with unconditional, I think for me, I definitely tie that to like family. I think they'd be hurting me and I'd be like, do you know what?
Wait, I feel like even family though, like,
I'm gonna forgive you.
I feel like family is, I'll always forgive you, but I feel like I don't know. Cause I feel like family for me doesn't have to be unconditional. Like,
it doesn't have to be.
Babes, if you do that again, I might have to cut you off. I always say to people that, like, for me, like, no one is above blocking.
Yeah, no, but
no,
I mean,
one is
when,
above like being, no one is above me taking them out of my life. Like, if my mom decides to move mad, she wouldn't. But if she decided to just move mad tomorrow or something like that, she can also be left to decide.
Yeah, but I mean, for me, I think when I talk about like unconditional forgiveness for family, I think for me, it's more like literally my inner, not like extended like aunties, like literally like my mom, my dad, my brother and my sister. Like, those are the ones that I have unconditional forgiveness for. Because I think with my, like, with my family, there's things that I will, like, let's, like, I'm more likely to give my family more chances than I would an outsider. So that's what I mean by unconditional. Okay. Like, I can forgive you a couple times. I think it has to be really extreme where I'm like, yeah, because I think also unconditional love kind of also maybe ties into like unconditional forgiveness can also tie to unconditional love that you have for somebody where it's like you're constantly forgiving them for the things because of the love that you have for them. But I think for me, it'd have to be like really extreme. Like, I don't know, like.
Yeah, but I always see people say that they can't love unconditionally and their love comes with conditions. And I don't know. I just feel like, but I think shouldn't.
Nowadays, like everything is transactional though.
Not always though. I feel like not everything is transactional. I feel like a lot of things can be.
Yeah.
But I don't think everything is transactional. I feel like I see people say like, my love is conditional because if you disrespect me, if you do this, if you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I get that. But I just still feel like love should be unconditional. And obviously if something happens, I feel like saying that your love is conditional is preempting bad things happening.
Okay.
And I'm someone who I would want to love you or like I would want to be in... When I say these things, I talk about marriage because relationship babes, you can get left for a little thing. But I feel like if I'm going to marriage, I wouldn't say I love you conditionally based on how you're going to treat me in this marriage. I feel like I would love you unconditionally. Then if anything happens, then I would deal with it in that moment. Because I feel like when people say that their love is conditional, I just feel like already it kind of puts something there.
Yeah, I think I hear what you're saying as well. But I think it can also mean like setting standards for what you want as well.
Yeah.
Because even like marriage vows and stuff, when they say, what did they say?
For better, for worse.
Yeah. So that is kind of...
That's unconditional.
That's saying unconditional, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but then I think where some people think logically in the sense of like, I want, like my love is conditional because I want you, like you need to keep up this, like the loyalty and the trust and everything because once that's broken, but then realistically, will your love go away automatically, like,
no.
At once when these things happen? No,
because I love you claiming conditional love are still...
So it's hard. That. So I think more time people say it more as a way of like, this is why I expect, like these are my expectations. Don't go fuck up. But then at the same time, when these things happen, you don't just alter, like love is not something you could just switch off just like that. So maybe you're able to remove yourself from the situation and still love that person. Do you get what I mean? Like you can still be like, okay, I love you, but because you have to treat me this way, I no longer want to be in this marriage or relationship with you.
Yeah.
But I think it's a tricky one. I just feel like in society nowadays, everything is very transactional. Like it's very give and take. Like I love you so long as you do these things for me and you're this person, you're this.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel like a lot of things are transactional these days.
I feel that's an issue though. That's a problem. Because I feel like, a lot of people place a lot of expectation on other people.
Mm.
And a lot of times we don't realize that we're projecting on other people. And so we hold people to a standard that they might have never been able to meet. Like we put people on a pedestal and then we get angry when they don't meet that standard that we have personally set, that they're not aware that we set.
Yeah, I think that's where communication comes in. And I think
it's crazy.
If you put someone on a pedestal and they're not meeting that criteria, then clearly that you're not for that person you're not for each other basically.
Yeah.
So I think you definitely have to communicate like what your expectations are. And I think people go wrong where they don't communicate those expectations. So he's doing stuff that you're like, you're not feeling, but you haven't expressed that.
Yeah.
So it's a lot, but.
Relationships are very complicated.
Mate. In general, I think, not just like romantic ones, I think.
Yeah, definitely in general.
It's a whole lot. Definitely a whole lot. But, moving on to Love Island, Jess.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I've stopped watching Love Island. I didn't watch Love Island once this week.
Did you not?
I've checked out. I can't anymore.
Watched every single day. And you know what it is? I think I'm getting too emotionally.
Yeah, you are. Your tweets be really flying.
I'm getting too emotionally invested.
Got me out here doing people back.
Oh no, he was a prick. He can fuck off.
I feel like because last week, right, I missed like 2-3 episodes.
Yeah,
and then I caught up. And then it was a chore to catch up. I didn't finish the last one I was watching.
Yeah.
Then I said, okay, let me carry on. Then I missed another episode. Before I knew it, I'd missed two. I said, you know what? This is where I'm going to head out.
I think like this whole, I don't know how long it's been on for, four or five weeks?
I think we're going into the fourth week and it feels like it's been on for 2 months.
Yeah. And I think, was it Thursday's episode?
One with Hugo. I saw the snippet where Hugo picked Chloe.
Yeah. I think Thursday's episode was the first time in that Love Island season where we've had some explosive like drama that is just, I think for so long we were just, it was very stagnant. Like it was like, you know, we're just watching for the sake of something, you know. But I think on Thursday was the first time that we was like, wow, this is good TV.
Pick up Hugo, you know. I want him to come out and I want him to have a beautiful career. I think I can see him as a presenter. I think he's so nice and bubbly.
Don't make me vomit.
And he's just good vibes. I really want him to do well.
Do you know who I think is going to have a good career?
Don't say Lucinda.
Oh, no.
I think Kaz is going to do
well. I was just going to say Kaz because I think she's got this like, because I know she must be tired of people saying her energy, but she genuinely does have like a buzzing energy, buzzing personality. And I think she'll be really good for like TV, like TV presenting. Like that's the kind of like buzzing, bubbly energy that you need on TV.
I hate to say it. I hope I don't sound mad when I say it. I don't think if Kaz presents anything on TV, I'm going to tune in. I cannot deal with Kaz's screaming. This is one of the reasons why I cannot watch that show. I can't with the songs. I can't with the screaming.
You're going on a date.
You're going on a date. I'm not saying she's not a bubbly person.
Yeah.
But I feel like she's amplifying a bit more for the TV.
But that's what people
do. Because it's not coming natural to her. But that's what people do, though. And that's great for people.
In society nowadays, people literally, like, even on like social media, you see people retweet and stuff, and I'm just like, that's not you, but you just be tweeting. But do you know what I mean? Like people they heighten their personalities because they think that that's what, so, like that's what the people then want. So I think with Kaz, it's working in her favor because sis is the whites like Kaz, they do,
and that's great.
And and she's been in there. I mean, I don't think it's only just us Black Twitter that have been keeping her in there. I'm pretty sure, obviously, that the whites have also kept
people definitely
her
like
in.
Her, especially when she's her relationship with Libby as well. I like that friendship. I love that
Libby
dynamic.
She's
I also
so
like
cute.
That her and Aaron's friendship as well. I think it's really, really nice.
Ain't it weird
how we need to get more of that?
Aaron has grown on us as well.
Who's us?
I honestly think Aaron has really grown on me in terms of like his personality and like
he's just
and his looks have also sort of, I'm like, you're not bad. But oh my gosh, Teddy, don't you think Teddy looks like Brent?
I literally paused this to see Brent's reaction. Do you know
Teddy
what?
Reminds me of Brent so
I
much.
Why you say that?
Because he's so like, I feel like he's a voice of reasoning in there. Yeah. Like he's really like when something happens, he's always like, but don't you think that?
Like, do you know what it is? And I know that, do you know what it is? I know that I am an anomaly in society. I know that. And I like it. I'm here for it. She just made me that way. Because honestly, I feel like watching Love Island, if I was to watch Love Island, right, I would like that kind of chill. Like I don't want people playing a game. And I know this is what life is. I don't want people like just doing too much, not being your authentic self. Because you're trying to do all of like trying to secure a bag and stuff. Like, I'm not really into that. So Teddy's energy, I really like that, but it annoys because they don't show him much.
Yeah, it's like Liam and Minnie as well. They don't really get much.
They're really
TV.
Cute. They're super cute.
They don't get much TV.
But do you know what I mean? Like, I like that, but I don't know, man. Like, I want Kaz to do well, and I pray she does.
Yeah.
But I just think, me personally, I just can't deal with like screeching noises and stuff like that.
But you know
like
what it is? I think also it may be because we're so used to like Black girls, Black women being a certain way.
No, it's not that.
That like.
Not for me, it's not.
I feel like. Well, for me, I'm just saying that like, I think because we're so used to like Black women being a certain way that like. Also, she's also from Essex, right?
But what's so, a certain way though?
Like, as in. We have like the certain stereotype of like, you know, you're calm, like, you know, you no bullshitting, like, da, 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 like, do you know what I mean?
Whereas, no, I'm not being funny, but Black women are not that calm.
Well, okay. Well, in terms of like Kaz anyway, I don't think Kaz is not the, her personality isn't really the typical Black girl that we see. So I think when you, when you have someone like Kaz, who she's basically like a white girl. So when you have people like her on TV, it's kind of like you're doing too much. Because even, like Liberty, for example, they kind of low-key have the same personality where like they're all like, even like, they all have like this, like,
yeah,
like this kind of like exciting, like,
no, I don't agree. Yeah. I don't agree because I don't feel like Liberty, like Kaz is giving whiteness because I feel like the energy Kaz is giving me is that when you meet up with your friends, as in she's, you know, like when you meet up with friends, that like, you're just,
but it's like 24/7. She's like,
yeah,
this.
But that's why I say that it's heightened because I think that's why it's a bit much for me to watch because when you're with your friends and stuff, like you're obviously you're lit and whatever, yeah. But she's just constantly lit. And In my real life, I can't deal with that. Like, in my real personal life, my personal circles,
yeah,
I can't deal with that energy constantly. So for me, watching it is draining for me to watch this. I don't feel like she's not the typical black girl. Because I feel like with the typical black, that there's different variations. Because I just feel like there's different variations. Because sometimes we get, like, that idea of, like, black women being rude and, like, standoffish and stuff like that. But also we get that idea of, oh, black women being loud and stuff like that. So I don't feel like there's a typical black woman. I feel like it really just varies. But I feel like with her, like, I don't doubt she's a bubbly person. I think she really is.
Yeah.
But I just think that she's amplifying it a bit more. Because I think one of the last episodes I watched was when, who was it? I think, was it Teddy that she liked? And she's like, I can't do polygamy. I'm into monogamy. Like, stuff like that. Gone. I was like,
I don't know. I think I've seen, I don't know. I think she, I think she definitely gives me white girl vibes. Like, you know, cause I feel like I've been around certain white girls who are always like, but like their energy is on like 24/7. They're literally like that. Like I've got a friend, she's not a white girl, she's Asian. And she's literally like 24/7. She's just, and I'm like, you're never sad. Like, which is a good thing. But I'm just like, she's always like on 10. Yeah. So sometimes it's like, for me, I can't, it's a lot. Do you know, it's a lot. So I think I see where Kaz, I do agree that she's definitely amplified a little bit, but I think I don't think she's not your typical black girl, the same way Yowande wasn't your typical black girl, I think. And the same way Samira wasn't your typical black. I think the black girls that come into Love Island are not what you see on a dated, like what you see at DLT or recess or whatever. But
yeah.
And even like with Toby as well, I think the hate that Toby's getting is a lot in the villa, because I think this time he went about it the right way. And I didn't understand why Chloe was getting upset so much.
I don't think he went about it the right way.
Because, well, this time, right, compared to Kaz, Kaz, he wasn't really feeling her, was saying to the boys, oh, I don't really feel her, but then was saying something else. And then Chloe kissed him and everything, and then he lied about it on the terrace and everything. But I think with this time, he's literally said to Chloe, I'm going to get to know her. He hasn't kissed her. He hasn't done anything physical with her. He just said, I'm going to get to know her. And I just think Chloe was doing way too, like, that scared me. She was doing way too much. Like, why are you crying every second? I just think for her, it was the karma that was like, she's realized that, you know what? He's just done to me the same thing.
I feel like with men, sometimes men don't want a woman. And men, as much as they admit to be so ballsy, and so women can't handle the truth, that's why we don't tell them the truth.
Mm.
And, you know, a man, I say how I feel, and if it's what I want, blah, blah, blah. As long as they do all that act.
Yeah.
Superman, they do all that act. A lot of men cannot look at a woman and just say, I'll be honest with you, I am not feeling the situation anymore. Toby has been in bondage with Chloe for time.
You reckon?
He only just likes the sexual messing around. That's what that boy was really in there for. He doesn't like her. I feel like because he laid his bed and he felt like, you know what? I've got to lie on it now.
Yeah.
So he's been doing the whole thing with Chloe and blah, blah. I always saw through that. I never thought he actually liked Chloe like that. And I feel like with Chloe thing, all he had to say to Chloe was, I'm going to get to know. Yeah, fine. I'm going to get to know. He said that, cool.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I'm not really, be honest about it. I feel like for me, I see Toby as a gaslighter. I think what he tries to do is he tries to get the woman to be angry so she can leave him. So then he doesn't have to then own up to the fact that he doesn't have to have that difficult conversation of, I don't actually like you. Because you must have known that you linking arms with a new girl, walking right past Chloe was going to set up. You knew that. Because even when he was talking to Kaz, like, he wanted Kaz to say more so then he can be... You see what we talked about earlier about when you move mad, then the blame shifts to what your madness. So you can't even go back and say, well, this is what you did to me. I feel like that's what Toby wants. He wants the girl to move mad or just do madness, and then that way he can say, well, this is why I don't even want to be with you, or this is... Because for me, like, just... It's simple. I don't really like it like that. Or I like you, but do you know what? Like, I feel like I'm not fully into this, because you did all of that and then you end up picking a new girl anyway. If you're getting to know the new girl, you would let someone else pick the new girl, then you get to know her in the side. But you fully went on and picked her to couple up with, and then you're going to try and act like, oh, like Hugo doing this was mad. Sorry, no.
And do you know what? I completely hear what you're saying, but I think for me, Toby's introduction video, he literally said, I've got commitment issues. I've never been in a relationship before. Da 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 da. So this guy's coming in here. He's a 22-year-old, 21-year-old. He's coming in there just to have fun.
He's a baby as well.
Do you know? So. He's just coming in there to have fun. I feel like for me, I think he went about it the right way compared to the situation with Kaz, because he literally said to Chloe, I want to get to know the other girl. Yeah. He didn't want to break off with Chloe. He just said, I want to get to know the other girl. And then Chloe said, I'm not going to have you getting to know another girl and be with me. So then he was like, all right, then, well, if you don't want the situation, you end things, which I do think he did want her to end it so that he doesn't seem like the bad guy. And I think he has a problem with coming across as the bad guy. But I genuinely don't think he's done anything wrong. Like, Chloe, you took him off another woman. And like, you're here to play the game. Like, you need to pattern up. Like, you're moving like you was coupled up with him from the get-go. And from time you kissed him without even having a chat with Kaz, like, what did you expect was going to happen? His head was always going to turn.
I feel like stuff like that, though, like, that's what they're all in there for. So it's not even that. I feel like we just make a big deal out of it, because I feel like when we watch it, we project our personal experiences on the show. Because really and truly, if you're in the show, yes, morally, because I guess we're projecting, we feel like, you should really have a conversation with her. But really, babes, we're all in. That's what we're actually in here
but
for.
But then if that's the case, then Chloe shouldn't get upset for the fact that I can't remember the other girl's name. Abigail is linking arms with thingy, because that's what we're all here for. So for me,
Kaz shouldn't be upset that Chloe took
this whole Toby. Tearing up and she was so disrespectful. And
yeah, but then the human emotions are going to get
you're,
in there.
You're doing a lot, and it's just like,
is it though? Like, you're,
she is. You weren't even exclusive. You weren't even exclusive. You were just dating each other, getting to know. He's literally said to you, I want to get to know. He's not done anything. He hasn't kissed her.
Even when you go to like a motive, right?
Yeah.
And you see a guy move to you and he's talked the sweetest talks, giving me your number, everything. When you see him talking to a girl, are you not irritated?
But I'm not now going to go up to him and be like,
yeah, but you wouldn't. Oh, that's because you've only known him.
You've
only known him for 10 minutes where he spoke to you. Imagine being with someone, living in a house with someone for like 3 weeks, and then, okay, we've been coupled up for 2 weeks. We've been talking, and we only see 1 hour of the show. Like, they've got the rest of 23 hours to live.
Yeah.
So they've been doing all of that. Of course, your emotions. Come on, your emotions are gonna get involved, man. You're gonna cry.
I don't know. I just think for me, it was just like, you're doing a lot for a guy that. The way you started was never solid.
But you know what it is as well,
how would you expect in this situation to go? I mean, I don't know what he was saying to her during the nighttime when they were sleeping and doing the fornication, whatever they were doing. But I just think you never started off as solid. So I don't know why you're so surprised. Like, she's acting so surprised.
What it is as well, is that we are watching the show from the outside. We're not living with them. So whenever we see them have like a 5-minute conversation, we base everything else they do off of that screen time they've gotten. Meanwhile, there's a whole other life that they're living outside of that. That they spend time, like, there's a lot of relationships we didn't even know was, a lot of friendships that we didn't even know were there. Like, Aaron and Kaz, I didn't know they were that close to be kikiing. Like, all we saw was Aaron didn't like Kaz or whatever it was, and this happened. Do you get what I mean? Like, there's so much more that happens. I feel like sometimes we are harsh outside because we're not living in there with them. And we're not the ones who are actually going through. I just know that all I'm saying is, right, I've seen women on the outside, in the real life, be upset about much less. How much more if I'm sleeping and waking up next to the same person for 2 weeks plus, and you think I'm not going to cry?
You're allowed to cry, but you're crying every day and calling him disrespectful when he was respectful about the way he went about the situation. I think that's it's just like, you're doing a lot. Like,
it's the same way when last year we saw Leanne tell Michael she's so obsessed with him, and people were confused because they were like, he's come to you like twice, or he just came to you this one time. When Black Girls, she went on, and she said, actually, like, that whole entire day, she's like, you guys didn't see it, but the entire day, we had been talking and doing this and doing that, everything. And she was like, that was the one time she could get, like, quietness to just have a quick nap, a power nap. And then he came again, and she's thinking, bruh, really? So I feel like we see it, obviously you don't have to agree, but I just feel like I see it differently because we just see literally a snippet. Yeah. And they edit these things, like, so it's never going to be as it actually is in the villa. They edit these things. Also, as well, with Love Island is like what's it called? Love and Hip Hop.
Yeah.
Because really and truly, like if they say something, I can't remember which contestant said this, but they said if they say something and the producers don't think it's enough vim, they tell them to say it again. Like, you have to keep reacting.
There's been
it.
A couple scenes where they've had repeated conversations.
Yeah, but I feel like it's real human beings in a situation that's in a scripted situation. I get why they're upset. I've been watching the American one, not been watching religiously. First of all, the American budget is different.
I've heard.
Just where they live, it looks like Disneyland. It's so
I've
sick.
Heard.
They've got
I need
a water
to watch
slide.
It.
Like, they have proper breakfast, as in sausages, like a whole platter.
I'm so done.
They are living life. But even with that, like, I watched one of the episodes where one new girl came in, and within 24 hours, the day after she was out, sis was bawling. But it was like, when she was crying, like, I understood it because I was like, oh, like, obviously, I've just seen her have conversations with like two people, but she must have known what them 24 hours was like for her in terms of like her getting to. So she was really upset that the guy that she liked didn't pick her.
Yeah, I think it is a bit out of order when you're like, you spent all this time preparing to come into the villa and then
it's the game,
you're huh? only there for like a day. Like, even with like that Georgia girl, oh my God.
Auntie from HR.
No, Sissy's bikinis was given peacock and Dorothy Perkins. What? She was wearing frills and I said, ma'am. This is not it. We're wearing thongs and stuff. What are you wearing? But even going back to like Hugo, I think where Hugo, I was all for Hugo. When Sharon was getting upset with him, I said, I stan Hugo.
Yeah.
Where Hugo went wrong is the fact that if, let's just say, right, you do something and I don't agree with, right? And then we're in public and then I'm outing you in public saying, oh, S did this, I think is wrong. Like, you don't check your friends in like an out in a public scenario. Like,
is Toby his friend or is it just because they're part of the boys? And
no, but Hugo literally just said, we're family. Like, that's why, what's his name? Toby was confused. Like, if we're supposed to be family.
Did he say that to Toby personally? Did he say is family?
No, he literally said to Toby, they had a one-on-one chat and then he was like, oh, like, Toby was like, I would never do that to you. He's like, oh yeah, but we're family, so we're gonna have disagreements. And he's like, but if we're family, you don't check me out like on the public thing. And also Toby's gone to Hugo and said, how do you feel like, I need your advice on how to go about the situation. You've said one thing, and then on the recoupling thing, you're out here doing, oh, Chloe doesn't deserve this, da, 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 I think it's disgusting. Like,
first of all, yeah, that's Toby's problem, because I don't know who's going to Hugo for advice.
Like, and for me, I just feel like Hugo is like he's one of those like guys who try to be the nice guy, but deep down you're just evil. Because why are you outing your friends like that? If you're meant to be family, why are you outing your friend like that? Like that, I just think for me that was just. And you know how many people have gone home because of Hugo? Hugo has one chat with people and he's not feeling them.
I can't remember who tweeted it yet, but someone said that Hugo's actually just in there to save people.
He thinks this is like some holiday. Like, he had a chat with Abigail and then he was like, oh, do you like cats? No, she said, do you like cats? He said, I don't like cats. Then she said, oh, do you like horses? I don't like horses. Like, any little thing that she would say, it's like he was put off by her. Like,
I'm not going to lie to you. I think Hugo's a man who knows what he wants and he's not going to settle.
Well, apparently the streets are saying that Hugo swings both ways.
And that's all right.
So that's why, apparently, like, it might be where he's a little bit, like, picky where. But then I was just like, regardless, you're not making any effort to have a conversation. Like, how can you expect a spark when you've only had one conversation with somebody?
Nah, you definitely know if you've got a spark, hon.
And literally every time they were talking,
carry on the conversation.
He's not. But the thing is, he's not even trying. And the girls come.
I had a conversation. There was no spark.
No, because the girls are the ones that are grafting him. And the thing that pissed me off,
because they're trying to stay in. I'm not trying to stay in. I'm safe.
And the thing that pissed me off as well is he was literally, after AJ left, he said to the boys, "I want somebody who's going to come in there and put it on me." And did it. AJ literally came and put it on you like no.
AJ left already.
Sis gone. AJ put it on him like there's no tomorrow, and he was still like not feeling. I was thinking, you know what? You can't even pretend to win the 50K. At this point, you're just being a knob. So just get out. You can't even pretend. If you've been in that long and you haven't coupled up, I would pretend to like somebody just to stay there.
I would never go on Love Island because I can't be doing all of that in the public eye. But I feel like if I was in Hugo's situation where I could get to go on a free holiday and just live my life.
He
and
needs
just
to go, man.
Do the barest minimum, I would absolutely do it.
He needs to go.
And I think if people, a lot of people had the opportunity to do it, they would do it too. Everyone, let's be honest.
What, be as picky as him?
No, be just live a simple, free life as Hugo's living.
I don't see
the problem in that Hugo's there and not with, like, what's it got to do with you? Like, his relationship life has nothing to do with me.
But he's enabling people and then not being like, because where was energy for Kaz when you were telling Toby to go for Chloe? He literally told Toby, do your thing.
Yeah.
And now that it's happened to somebody that he's, you know, you're so close with Chloe.
Yeah, and that's
all right. You're getting upset.
Kaz had liberty to stand up for her.
I saw someone
trying to link all of that to like racism. I said, oh, take a break.
He's two-faced for me. I think
he needs to go. I think everyone needs to let Hugo live, man. Let people live.
I need to get on a flight to Mallorca. I will pack his bag for him and let him go.
I think just let people enjoy things.
Because if you're here, you're not trying to find love. You're not even. If he was trying to, like, you know, he's like Dr. Yeah, Alex was like trying.
No, but I feel like everyone's acting as if like we've been asked to donate the money that makes it 50,000. If some, like, there's six other couples or five other couples that are in there for love, and that's okay. If
really, one person's really just in there, love, but,
exactly.
Yeah.
But if one person's in there just to catch crews, sorry,
no, mate.
Because down where my G's connect. Nah. What? He's living life.
He's the least person that he can catch crews. It's time for him to get back on the easy jet and get
Hugo, enjoy yourself, babes. When you get out here, I pray there's a career waiting for you, because sometimes some whites have not made it through child.
He'll get a career.
But life is for the living. Sometimes people have to just live.
Anyway, we're going to close it here, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the episode.
Yep. Follow us at No Shade Pod on Twitter, Instagram.
Yeah.
Hashtag No Shade Pod on when you listen.
Yeah,
and also, please leave us nice Apple reviews.
Yes, guys. Don't make me come into your DMs.
Again, those questions are meant to answer. Next week, guys.
I'm so done.
Next week.
Yeah, guys. Yeah. Leave a review. Hashtag. Share it. Don't make me come into your DMs.
I'm so done.
And yeah, guys, we're going to sign out. It's a girl, Aubrey.
And it's been my own royalty.
And we're signing out, guys.
Bye.
Bye.